Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another week of the Ninth State Sports Show Lacrosse Edition. My name is Joe Marcellina, and joining me once again, Derry Field AD and boys lacrosse coach Chris Hetler. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Joe. We're finally getting some real spring weather here.
Yes.
It's going to be a nice week to play games. No rain in the forecast. We're feeling good right now. This is great.
You know, you can tell it's perfect spring weather because I leave the house and thinking, man, maybe I should have worn shorts today. And then by the time I get home, I'm like, oh, it's kind of cold out.
I made the trip to North Conway on Monday and made the mistake of leaving here being warm and then forgetting we were going 2 hours north in a short sleeve shirt, and it got a little chilly when the sun went down. So it's still spring.
It's also a sign of spring. My allergies are also back. That's fun. But I mean, I'm dealing with them this long, it's a given. So, and that's your weekly weather report. As always, you can share your feedback or thoughts on the show by sending an email to nhhighschoolsports@gmail.com or by connecting with us on social media. You can follow the site on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at @NHHSports. Shows will be up every Thursday morning, and you can listen to them at nh-highschoolsports.com or by searching Ninth State Sports Show on Spotify or Odyssey. And new the last couple of weeks, we are also on the radio. Manchester Public Television has been replaying the podcast on their station, WMNH 95.3. You can catch the show Fridays at 5 p.m., Saturdays at 8 a.m., and Sundays at noon. So,
Joe, I got to ask you, did you partake Sunday morning with a little brunch and listen to yourself there? I'm people will accuse me. I'm pretty vain myself, but I'm not vain enough to listen to myself on the radio. Did you partake?
I mean, I've told you this before. I don't always go back and listen to the whole show before I edit it when I know where I know it needs to be edited, but I don't often re-listen.
But for anyone who did, we appreciate you. We appreciate you listening and supporting the radio station.
And then thanks to them for doing that as well. All right, now before we get started, I want to tell you about our sponsor. The Ninth State Sports Show is proudly sponsored by Prolax Custom. Since 2018, Prolax Custom Lacrosse of Bedford has been the region's go-to source for boys' stick stringing and custom lacrosse head dyes. Don't settle for a hand-me-down stick or mass-produced factory pocket when you can get a stick dialed in for your position and playing style from Prolax Customs. Whether it's a brand new stick, a restring of your existing stick, or a full custom dye job to stand out from the crowd, every customer they work with gets a one-on-one service and satisfaction guarantee. With access to every major brand, Prolax Customs is your hometown source for your next stick. Visit them on Instagram or at prolaxcustoms.com. And of course, if you are interested in joining Prolax Customs as a sponsor of the show, you can get more information on that by sending me an email, nhhighschoolsports@gmail.com. Again, want to mention a couple other things too, housekeeping items. Obviously, I don't know how many people are listening on the radio, but for our numbers in terms of downloads and page views and listens on, different podcasting services, I think I haven't added up all the numbers and done all the math because math is hard. But I think we're in the neighborhood of like 700 to 800 listens like a week.
That's fantastic.
Hint, hint, if you're interested in sponsoring, we've got, I think, a pretty, decent amount of people around the state, tuning in each week, which thanks to all of them for doing so. And obviously we wouldn't continue doing this if no one was listening. So, there's that. Also, too, the last, obviously with the season, regular season starting about 10 days ago, I've seen a good uptick in membership signups, which has been very encouraging. Sometimes those take a dip, in between seasons or in between the fall and the spring for me. So very excited that to see that happen, and thank you to those people that have continued to have memberships and the new members as well. If you're listening to us for the first time, thanks, for joining us here too.
I think what's really helped too is like a lot of coaches have been sending you game write-ups afterwards, right? They might be contacting the union leader or Seacoast Online or places, and they're sending them to you as well. And every day I'm going to the website, there are great write-ups. The box scores have been fantastic. You're essentially serving as like, what used to be the high school sports section when newspapers were actually doing that. I've said for years, I don't understand why newspapers have gone away from that. I know who won the Red Sox game before the next day. I don't necessarily know, you know, who won the lacrosse games and who did well. And right, it's a really cool service to have. So thank you for doing that. And, you know, encouraging other coaches to listen. If you're doing it, send those box scores in. I'm doing it. Other coaches are doing it.
I was just telling you, Monday I came home from the games I was at. I had like 14 games waiting for me in my inbox. I'm my jaw dropped. It doesn't sound like a lot, but when you sit down and put it all in and then you add that into a couple others that came in late and, you know, I got tagged in a couple on social media. It was like an 1,100 word post on Monday of just recaps of games, which, you know, that was kind of not to get too off track here, but that was kind of the goal, you know, in starting the site when I did was, you know,
let's bring some exposure to local high school lacrosse. Yeah.
Well, not just lacrosse, but at the time, but everything, because, you know, people were moving away from the papers. And now that we're at this point, my goal is to get this site in the spring and at other times of the year too, to be the place that people go for lacrosse news. And certainly I feel like we're taking another step in that direction this year, or we have already. So that's very encouraging, very exciting to me, at least. I hope everyone else feels the same way.
Absolutely. Helping coaches too, to see, you know, maybe they don't get to the games and helping with our coaches poll here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Things. Well, good segue. Let's jump into the coaches poll, which, by the way, talking about increased participation, we're up to 18 voters in the poll, which is a lot more than we've had. I think at most we've tapped out at like 12 or 13 in the past, so we're up to 18 this year. And for the first time in some time, going back to week 4 of 2022 when I looked at this, BG was not the unanimous number one. We had one voter break away and vote for Exeter, which, yes, we were discussing beforehand. We can understand if you're going off of body of work to that point when the poll was done Monday. Exeter had that win over Lincoln Sudbury, a couple other wins there against Londonderry, and I'm drawing a blank on who else in that first week. It might have been, I wanted to say Concord, but I don't think it was Concord. Anyway, and BG had the one game against Manchester. So I can understand, but even still, BG hangs on to the top spot in the poll for the 29th week in a row now. And then Exeter not only getting that first place vote, but also jumping up from 3-2 in this poll. Then you had, which we talked about last week, how close 2 through 4 were last week. Well, now we had a tie this week with Derryfield and Bedford finishing tied for third. Pinkerton hanging on to number 5. Portsmouth at 6, Timberlane at 7, just like a week ago. St. Thomas and Londonderry flip spots. St. Thomas going to 8, Londonderry 9. And then Merrimack jumping into the poll as Wyndham dropped out following a 1-1 start there. And then Winneconnet also was pretty close. It was net first team out, but the closest to getting in. You know, just a couple points behind Merrimack.
Yeah, we said it at the beginning here. There could be a lot of movement this year. There's a lot of good teams, a lot of movement there in terms of, you know, scores. You know, looking at Exeter, their first week there, they get that opening win over Lincoln Sudbury, 8-7. They beat Concord 15-5, or Concord 18-1 in Londonderry 15-5. So, you know, yeah, but based on body of work early season, you know, yeah, they could be deserving of that first place vote. They've got a real test today. They've got Chelmsford coming up, always a strong program from Northern Mass there, right over the border. So that'll be a fun one. They get them in home. Another good game in New Hampshire, 6 o'clock start tonight.
I was just checking, the LAX numbers rankings to see if they've updated those. I know they did the preseason ones.
I think they're refining because they're refining the algorithm to kind of see some of the early games.
Plus, still have some teams that haven't played a game or only played one game. So if you go there now, it's still alphabetically, which has Alvern number one.
Yep.
In their rankings,
3-0 though.
They are 3-0, and they're number one in the standings in D2 right now. But we'll get to that in a little while. Any other thoughts on the poll before we move on, or? I mean, pretty, you know, we had...
I think you're going to see movement again this week.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm excited about is we've had already, and this goes with the girls' coaches poll as well, already had a lot of top 10 matchups early in the season. You had Pinkerton Bedford on Monday, Merrimack Londonderry on Monday, Portsmouth Timberlane on Tuesday. You guys are playing St. Thomas coming up on Friday. Just a lot of great matchups and a lot of kind of... ways to make it a little easier to rank these teams, I feel like, coming up, which is you know, always great to have those games early on.
Especially early in the season, you can kind of see how people stack up and then make adjustments as the season goes on. A lot of these are they potential playoffs, either quarterfinal, semifinal matchups. You know, so fun to see it early in the season, then have time to see how teams get better as the season goes along. What do you want to dive into?
Start in D1, maybe with a couple games that I was at. You know, got firsthand views of course, Monday's game between Pinkerton and Bedford. I think was one that a lot of people had circled when the schedules came out.
A little bit slow. Slow starting.
Kind of for both teams. It was a 1-0 game. You know, up until the last 2 minutes of the first quarter, and even then it was 1-1 going into the second.
What do you think? What do you think about, you know, Pinkerton? I think at one point they were up. Was it?
They were 3-1.
What kind of allowed them to jump out to that start? I mean, that's a great defensive effort against a Bedford offense like that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It was weird kind of watching. Obviously, was not Bedford's first game, but because they opened against Concord on the 9th, had their game at Dover that was supposed to be last Friday postponed, so they hadn't played a game in 6 days. It had a little bit of a feel like they were, you know, restarting the season.
Yeah.
I think that can happen.
Sometimes if you're not in a rhythm and you got to wait to play, you know, practice is great. You can scheme things up, but you're not hitting and you're not seeing a different jersey. And then, you know, that can happen.
And I feel like we've heard some, you know, coaches that take, or, you know, teams that take vacation week off. The coaches say that about coming back after vacation. It's almost like a reboot to your season. I've heard football coaches say that about having bye weeks sometimes. You know, it's, you know, you go
sometimes
so
you get into the
game.
Playoffs. Yeah. Like I remember in the playoffs, I never liked having the bye because it kind of gets you out of the rhythm. You know, everybody's like, oh, you get to rest and stuff like that. Guys are in the rhythm of playing, especially when you get some of those matchups where, you know, it's like the you're gonna play a decent team. You're gonna play a pretty decent team, and they get a chance to go and you know, keep their rhythm going and get better. It can be hard to start it back up again.
Yeah, it kind of took Bedford, though, until I'd say about midway through that second quarter to kind of get all on the same page. You know, they did a little bit more of, you know, drawn out possessions, moved the ball a little bit better, was able to – they went on a 4-0 run over the final 5 minutes of the first half, turned that 3-1 lead into a 5 – or 3-1 deficit into a 5-3 lead. And then they just kind of defensively just kind of stymied Pinkerton, you know, whether it was with the ride, whether it was in 6-on-6. I think of you know, Bedford ended up winning 13-6. I think of Pinkerton's six goals, only one of them came in 6-on-6 settled offense. The rest were, you know, transition, you know, off a turnover, off a save. They had a man up goal in there, and then one was off the opening faceoff.
I mean, we said going into the season that one of the things, you know, Pinkerton's area of growth was going to be in the offensive end. They had a lot to replace there. I think it's a good sign for them that they were able to defensively stay in the game as long as they were like that. And then the offense is going to grow over time.
And I think you maybe saw a little bit of that, you know, earlier in the early part of their schedule. They had a couple of games where they were able to, you know, put up a bunch of goals, and you know that. Kind of joking I'm assuming he was joking because he laughed, but with Coach Gaudreau after this game, you know, talking about where they were going to get their scoring, because it was something I think we talked about going into the year. You know, they lost, I think, four of their top five scorers from a year ago. He told us not to have any anxiety over how they were going to score goals. They were going to score goals, which they did in that opening, you know, that opening couple of weeks. You know, guys like, obviously Matt Morrison's the guy everybody knows about. He's been around a couple of years. Jimmy Erickson had a couple of goals in this game against Bedford.
Cole Summers was a name that was popping up.
Had a bunch of goals in their first three games. I don't believe had any in this one. And then Ricky Wong has been another guy that's really stepped up for them on this in terms of scoring. Just this,
and this
was,
is one of the better defenses they're going to see early in the season.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah. So I mean, it's, on the one hand, it's I'm sure they're frustrated with the performance, but there's. I feel like, you know, watching them, it's not things that they can't fix, you know, like that it's not like they played as best as they could and they still only scored six goals. You know, they had a lot of turnovers, you know, again, struggled with clears at times. Was really impressed with their face-offs. They actually.
I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of the you know, I wrote it in the article I posted yesterday. Kind of the game within the game that both coaches talked about between Pinkerton sophomore Dylan Stingle and Bedford freshman Dylan Riccio. You know, they were. It was up and down for both of them. You know, Bedford had the advantage early on. Pinkerton kind of dominated for most of the second half, and then it kind of flipped back to Bedford late in the game. But really, really fun to watch two young guys. Like
I was going to say, impressive to see a freshman and a sophomore go at it. That could be that could be a headline going for the next couple of years, storyline for the next couple of years there.
A lot to like, I think, for certainly for Bedford. There are some good things that came out of this game for Pinkerton. You know, obviously, probably you know, not happy with the loss, but again, for both teams, I feel like too at this point in the season, it's as much as it's about you know you get a win or a loss for this game. It's also you what you learn where you stack up against one of the better teams in the division.
You learn what you need to do to get better. You know, first win for Bedford against Pinkerton since 2015. Who kind of stood out for them? You know, we knew coming into the season that we thought their offense was going to be pretty good. Who really stood out in your mind for them?
I mean, hard not to go with Derek Kaliza. I mean, six goals is, you know, not something to sneeze at. But what impressed me more with him was the way, you know, early on when they were kind of flustered, I think, offensively, I thought he stepped up and really kind of settled things down, did exactly what you expect your senior captain to do. He got possession, settled everybody down, got them into their offense, and that was really when things started to flow better for them. Obviously, Bennett Matthews had another big game. Him and Brody Helton starting to go both ways for Bedford have been all over the place early. It's showing up a little bit more for Matthews on the stat sheet in terms of goals and assists. I think he had, what, 3 and 5 in this one. Brody had a couple goals as well. Really been impressed with both of them. And then, I mean, the defense is... It's. I feel like we're going to be talking about this a lot throughout the year, but those guys have been, like Coach Goudreau said, they most of them have been starters for 3 years. They're big guys, athletic guys, and a lot of teams are going to have trouble matching in the state are going to have trouble matching up with them.
Yeah, I mean it's the game of lacrosse. If you can't win your one on one matchup, you're really going to struggle on offense. There's only so much you can do off ball and you know trick plays and different things. It's going to be tough, and a lot of teams are going to struggle against that defense. So. It's scary to think if that Bedford offense wasn't clicking at 100% early there, what they're capable of doing once they get everything rolling.
Well, this is one of those ones we talked about at the beginning of the year. You're gonna be able to see it because they play again on the last day of the regular season at Pinkerton. Really excited. You know, I'm obviously excited for the whole season, but that one, you know, will be one of those ones where you can see how far have you come. What do you look like compared to what you were in that first game? So we'll find out what each team is able to do in terms of adjustments and improvements this year.
All right, and then we had another big matchup yesterday in BG St. John's Prep.
Tuesday night had the opportunity to go down to Duane Stadium. I think it's Duane Stadium. Is that how you say that? That's how it's spelled. You never know sometimes. Down at Merrimack College, had a little bit of an adventure trying to get in there because.
Did you make the mistake? It was sealed. I went to an early season Merrimack game there. Went to the entrance. I thought I was going near the bookstore there, and it was blocked off. And I had to like flip around and then go.
Actually, no. I think I had the opposite problem. I think the other entrance.
Was where my
GPS took me. And
was it like the main one with the gate and everything?
No. I don't. You know what? I don't know. Because it's the first time I've ever been down to the campus. Beautiful campus. I mean, it has that, you know, that New England-y, you know, feel to it, if that makes sense. And I got to drive around all of it to try to find the parking lot for the stadium. But
you got the full tour.
Full tour. Great field. You know, I think a perfect setting for that kind of a school, that kind of atmosphere you're looking for. And, you know, it was a... competitive
easy recruiting opportunity for Coach Morgan.
Yeah,
and the
there
rest
you go.
Of the staff
yeah,
there
yeah.
too.
You know, and a great game. You know, I wasn't quite sure what to expect going into it. I mean, they played a one goal game at Stelos a year ago. I, to be honest, didn't have an opportunity to really look at what St. John's had coming back before the game.
I mean, in a lot of places, they're nationally ranked.
Right.
They're in, you know, not just, you know, they're, most people consider them the number one team in Massachusetts. You know, there's a lot of polls out there that have them as high as, you know, in the top 10 nationally, definitely in the top 25 nationally. And, you know, that's a, I don't know, really good performance. I know it stings. I know that Coach Cameron and the boys probably, you know, would have loved to have gone in there and get that win, obviously. But, you know, I got to think, like, you know, again, you can develop and to go toe-to-toe with a team that's nationally ranked, you got to walk away from that feeling pretty good about the effort, especially in the defensive end.
I think yes and no, if I can say that.
Sure.
You know, I didn't really know what to – you know, I thought it was – something where BG would keep it close and maybe St. John's would pull away, which I guess they kind of did, but I thought it might be more than three goals. First half, it looked like it could have had that potential. I think it was a 3-1 game at one point. BG came back. It got to 5-3 in the second quarter, which at that point it really felt like, you know, this could go either way. Maybe St. John's continues the momentum and they extend the lead. Instead, BG shut them down the rest of the half, made it 5-4.
Took a lead at one point.
Took the lead late in the third quarter, 7-6, and honestly probably should have taken that lead into the fourth. They won the faceoff after that and turned the ball over. St. John's came back and scored with 4 seconds left in the third.
Yeah.
So it's a 7-7 game. It didn't feel like that, like, swung momentum or anything.
But it's a little deflating. Anytime a team scores a goal right at the end of a quarter or a half, it can, you know, it can definitely swing momentum.
I think what was more deflating was that BG had a long possession early in the fourth quarter, I should have checked my notes before saying that. Might have been the beginning of the third quarter, but they had opportunities to score in that fourth quarter and weren't able to. And I think that was, you know, and then, you know, not that St. John's ran away with it. I mean, the 10th goal was scored in the last minute with the goalie out trying to, you know, help him get the ball back.
So essentially it was a 9-7 game.
Basically. Yeah.
You know, and I think it doesn't surprise me with Paulo and Will Murphy in goal. I think it's going to be a tall task for any team to blow out BG, right? They're well coached, you know. Coach Cameron, Coach Solms, Coach Marquis, they do a really good job with all aspects of the game. You know, whether it's defense, riding and clearing, offense, the faceoff circle, goaltending, all those guys are super well coached. They're not gonna beat themselves a lot. You know, did you notice anything in the game that was uncharacteristic of BG? Was it pretty clean? Was it just, you know, did they struggle to score offensively?
They did struggle to score. They're a little sloppy at times. Like they had some trouble with ground balls. You know, defensively they were forcing the ball out and then couldn't get it. Offensively, just, you know, maybe some errant passes here and there. But it was, I think it was, you know, as well as they were playing defensively, I think St. John's was also, their defense was also very good in this game. And forced them into longer drawn out possessions instead of getting out and being able to run.
Yeah. And I mean, that doesn't surprise me too much when you're playing against a team with really good athletes, right? The speed of the game picks up, you've got to make decisions a little bit quicker. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're having to make passes or shooting under duress, and all of a sudden things go a little bit errant there. You know, first time ground balls. That part of it surprised me a little bit. They're usually really well coached in that area. But again, you know, you got an athlete on your back coming after you. You know, this will be good for them, right? That's why they're playing these games. They're getting better and better for that playoff push, and you know, it's just going to make it all that much harder for some of the top teams in Division I to come after them.
You know, and they turn around and have Staples at home on Saturday.
They move to Stelos, right?
Move to Stelos. I guess they could initially, the game had said it was going to be at Providence, Providence College. They couldn't get Providence. On Saturday, they could on Sunday, but Staples couldn't play on Sunday. Couldn't get anywhere else. And finally, I guess the Staples coach just said, "We're coming to you." So
a good Catholic school like BG thinking about a Sunday game.
But that starts, you know, then they've got Staples. They turn around and have Bedford on Tuesday during vacation week, and then Exeter on that Friday. So
it's about to get real. That's a great week of lacrosse right there.
A little battle tested going into some of the bigger games in D1. Before we move on to D2, I want to mention, you know, one of those other top 10 games, Londonderry Merrimack. I got to see a little bit of that one on Monday. Londonderry getting its first win 8-2. They actually jumped out to a 7-1 lead at halftime. Interesting wrinkle for them offensively. I think I might have texted you about.
I believe, yes. I know where you're going with this.
Colby Walden not playing in goal on attack. I'd heard that he played on man up in their first game against Exeter. This was like full-time attack. And, you know, the goalie that came in and was playing for Londonderry, whose name will be in front of me in a second, Nathan Barrett, he played pretty well. So why not? Why not? If you got a good goalie that can fill in, take one of your better athletes and put him in a spot of need, and let him go. He finished with two goals in that game and an assist. Cam Brutus, we talked about him too as a pole. He's, I think, their team leader in goals this year with 5. He had two more in this game.
Wow, pushing transition. Yeah. I haven't seen any other games. He's not playing man up now, is he?
No, he's not.
All right, so
I think he had two. Both of his goals came in transition against Merrimack.
Nice.
Interesting.
Colby playing on attack doesn't surprise me too much. I mean, they develop really good goalies in Londonderry. And watching Colby play indoor, and what he was capable of a short stick in indoor, doesn't surprise me. I mean, one thing we talked about is where is Londonderry scoring going to come from this year, right? They graduated some good players. I got to see them in a scrimmage. Coach Wiedenfeld being creative right now, getting athletes out and making sure they can they'll be in the games that they need to win to get a playoff spot.
All right, so in D2, we had a pretty big game this week as well. We mentioned it for a moment. Portsmouth Timberlane was on Tuesday. Portsmouth coming off back-to-back games too. They'd played Oyster River the day before. Got a win in that one, I believe, 14-7. Tough task kind of going back-to-back with two, I think, teams that, certainly Timberlane, I think, a little bit higher up on the scale than Oyster River at this point, but two teams that we expect to be in the mix for top seeds in the division. And Portsmouth took care of both of them, beat Timberlane
in impressive fashion.
Put up 15-7
in both games. Yep.
And the biggest numbers from Zach Amend. I mean, we've come to expect that a little bit, but not 7 goals and what, 2 assists, 3 assists in that game?
7 goals, 3 assists, with all eyes on him, right? Everybody knows that, he's the guy coming into the game. He's going to draw tough matchups every game, and to be able to walk away with 10 points in that game, got to consider early season player of the year candidate right there. All American candidate.
I think we knew that going into the year there, though.
Yeah. And again, Nick Smith doing what Nick Smith does, 2 goals, 2 assists, 20 out of 24 in the faceoff circle. We said with that dynamic duo there, they're going to be tough to stop. And then, they're getting contributions from other guys as well.
Yeah, Briggs Catino, Riley Collins, both with a pair of goals, an assist too for Catino, Ben Purcell and Lucas Patton also with goal and assist. So,
yeah.
It's hard. It'll be hard to beat Portsmouth, even if you're just focusing on Zach and Nick, and it's seeming like you can't.
You can't really. I mean, they do have, Zach and Nick are committed D1. Ben is committed D1, and then the other in quotes role players around them, they're incredibly talented too. And I don't know if they're going to get D1 offers, but they're definitely going to get offers. So they've got a lot of talent on that team. I think even Coach Vischer would tell you, I don't think he thinks they're as deep as they've been in the past, but the guys he puts on the field, they're pretty darn good, and they're in great shape, and they don't have to come off the field a whole lot. Especially when you're winning as many faceoffs as you do, you can rest when you need to. They're going to be tough. Kai Patterson did what he needed to do, 11 saves for Portsmouth there. And in terms of Timberlane, I think, okay, you played them straight up. You saw Portsmouth at their best. Now you can make some adjustments. Got to feel good. Jack Condon, 3 goals. Austin Charest added 2 goals. Again, they return a strong team, but that's a team too that's going to continue to get better and better as they, it's you hate losing games in the regular season, but you got smacked around, and now you adjust and you move on and you work to get better, and you hope to see him again in the playoffs.
I'm going to throw a curveball at you here, because I didn't mention this. I forgot to mention this, but you guys obviously went and played Winnicott last Friday. Dairy Field getting a 14-6 win, kind of in the same ballpark as these two wins score-wise for Portsmouth and against Oyster River and Timberlane. Six goals from John Kramer in that one. Just what, I mean, another matchup I feel like we kind of thought to be what it was, you know, competitive. Yeah. And
it was a great game. Yeah. It was a really physical, really hard hitting game. You know, I was impressed with the way my guys handled themselves in terms of, okay, this is going to be a pretty physical, pretty tough game today. And, you know, I thought we execute it. Definitely. You know, I would, you know, admit it took us out of our rhythm, right? We things we wanted to do, but then, you know, in other aspects of the game, we had to be really good in riding and clearing, man up and man down. We had to be excellent in, and we were. We converted in transition, and to see a guy like John Kramer Senior, who maybe, like, you know, coming into the season, we talked a little bit about, you know, what guys need to step up and who have been role players in the past. John took it and ran with it. You know, he had the hot hand. He's been getting hotter and hotter, and you know, just makes us a more dangerous team. Now teams have to consider what they want to do with John, along with all the other players that we can roll out there on offense too. Really impressed with our defense. I thought Parker did a great job in net, and some guys, you know, Brady Daldo playing both short and long pole for us has been doing a great job. Max Fowler doing what Max Fowler does, and just, you know, again, every game seeming like 10, 12, 15 ground balls. I mean, he's just a machine all over the field, pushing transition for us. So yeah, really good win. And to that extent, you know, I was impressed with Winnicott too. I thought they played good, hard defense. Goalie had a great game against us. I mean, he stood on his head at times. We peppered him, and there were times where, you know, he was feeling it, but man, he bounced up and you know, he made some great saves. So tip of the hat to Noah there. And you know, I think Winnicott and a team when they're at full strength, I think we kind of saw it last year with them. You know, early season they lost some games, and then they went on a roll, right? And they kept getting better and better. They rattled off, I don't know, I want to say like 8-9 wins in a row last year.
I think they started 0-3 last year, right? And then were like 14-4 by the end of the season.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and it is the flip of last year's schedule, so it's similar. So, yeah. I know, same thing. They're going to get better. They're working. They've got new guys offensively they're working with there. The defense is going to be really strong. So, again, team that's, you know, come playoff time is going to be tough to deal with, you know.
One other game I want to mention too, that I saw Friday last week, and we will not talk about every single goal in this game, because if we did, we'd have to do a whole separate podcast, was Goffstown's 16-14 win over Kingswood, which honestly I left there and I felt like it was a Friday football night, because doubleheader with a JV game sandwiched in between, didn't start till 7:30. We got out of there, I want to say, at 9:45 by the time it was all was said and done. Long night, but and highly entertaining. So many ups and downs in that game. I'm going to try to tell you all of them, but Kingswood opens 2-1 lead. Goffstown comes back and goes up 8-2 at the end of the first quarter. Kingswood had no faceoff wins, no saves in the first quarter. And I'm looking at this, and then they get a fluky goal to open the second quarter. It's now 9-2. And I'm thinking, all right, running time, I can probably go sit in the nice Goffstown press box for the second half. The rain had stopped by then, so it was a little, you know, I was.
You were going to enjoy yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to, you know.
You might have even started doing the game write-up.
Yeah, it may be. The thought certainly crossed my mind.
And then things changed.
Then things changed. Kingswood comes back, goes on a run. It's now 10-6 going into halftime. And at this point, I should mention, too, their goalie, Wyatt Brown, kudos to him. I couldn't imagine anybody having a worse quarter plus to start a game. 9 goals against, no saves. You know, he got himself together. His teammates helped him get himself together. He ended up making 8 saves in the second quarter to get them back in the game. Finished with 14 total. 10-6 at half. They get it to 10-8 in the third quarter, and then Goffstown goes on a run. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. I want to say it was like a 6-goal game going into the fourth. Feels like it might be over. Kingswood cuts it back to four. Goffstown scores. It's five. And then the next thing you know, final 4 minutes, goal, Kingswood goal, Kingswood goal. All of a sudden, it's 15-14 with about 2 minutes left. Like, holy crap. Is this, like, this would be one of the more insane things I've ever seen if Kingswood comes back and wins this game. The difference, though, I think for Goffstown was on faceoffs, where TJ Smedic was just, I want to say, I forget what the numbers were, but he won, I got to guess, like 75-80% of the faceoffs. Got the faceoff there. Goffstown was able to run the clock. Kingswood goes a man down, so now they're really scrambling. Goffstown puts in an extra goal. It's now 16-14, and that was all
that
she
was
wrote.
Yep.
Got to say, up there for an early leader for top five games of the year there, just on entertainment value and storylines and all that, because that was an incredible game to watch. And you know,
and probably an important one for playoff standings.
Yeah, well, for Goffstown, you know, they're coming off their only game at that point had been a loss to Alvern in the opener that they were, you know, they were frustrated with. So they really needed to, you know, if they'd have lost that game,
right,
given up that kind of a
mentally,
comeback,
that
that's
could really
a,
be
that's
a tough
one, yeah,
to bounce back from.
And you know, for Kingswood, kind of shows them that they have that depth scoring potentially that they've need. You know, we know Will Crane is a guy that's
going to
get it done for them.
You know, I know you don't have the box score in front of you right now,
that was
the big thing coming into the season, is who was going to step up around Will Crane, right? Because you know he was going to draw double teams, he's going to draw slides. You know, what other guy? What other guys kind of
stepped
Crane, up?
Yeah, Crane had three goals and six assists in that game.
I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, he was, you know, 9 points, but to only have scored three goals, that means a lot of other guys stepped up for him.
Keegan Russo was the big one, five goals and an assist, and Keller Peacock added three goals, including, I believe, the one that made it 15-14. So, you know, those two guys helped them, you know, keep them in it. I'm going to do my best to get this name. Serafin Agramonte had the two goals early in the first quarter that gave them the lead. First two goals of his varsity career. It's a big for that guy. I mean, I believe he just started playing lacrosse a year ago, from what Coach Mike Manning told me. So it seems like they've got that. Now it's just, can they string enough wins together to kind of get themselves back into the playoffs? Looking at their schedule, there's some favorable games on there,
yeah,
but also some pretty tough ones. And, of course, they got to do a lot of traveling when they go on the road. But I was impressed with what I saw from them.
Yeah, and I mean, again, even though they have turf, you know, the weather has not been favorable early season. And when it turns when the snow turns to cement, it's tough to.
That was the one thing, you know, we were joking about, Coach Manning and I were joking about after the game, was they got three games in the first week. I said, when was the last time you were able to say that, you know, for Kingswood lacrosse, that you got the first three scheduled games in as scheduled?
I probably almost never.
Yeah. Before we move on to D3 real quick, I want to just highlight some Friday, huge day in terms of matchups. Of course, Kingswood is at Sauhegan. That's going to be a big game. Goffstown is at Portsmouth. Derryfield, you guys are at St. Thomas. Oyster River Newmarket is at Alvern on Friday. And then you got Timberlane at Hollis Brookline Friday night, 6 o'clock, under the lights at Hollis.
A lot of big matchups for playoff purposes there. You know, we didn't even mention, you know, the SDA team coming off an opening win over Merrimack Valley, turns around and then, you know, really, you know, an impressive victory over Winnicunnet. You know, kind of showing that they're scoring, they've got some serious scoring punch. You know, we know about Jackson Estes and we know about DeTola, but, you know, they had a lot of other guys around them helping them in that game. They look formidable as well this year. You know, they've been impressive, and you know, that's gonna be a big matchup for us on Friday. And those other games you talked about there too, Timberlane and Hollis Brookline, two high scoring teams. That game should be pretty entertaining, especially at Hollis Brookline. You said under the lights?
Yep, 6 o'clock start, at least the last I looked.
So
I would say that, though, right now, double check and triple check everything. Had to do that a couple times.
Call the main office.
This week.
Call
the
secretary.
Yeah,
the main
and
office.
When in doubt, call your school. Because there have already been a ton of schedule changes, and it's. I got like the Merrimack Londonderry game on Monday got moved. I saw it right as I was about to leave to go to Merrimack. The game had been moved to Londonderry.
Yeah.
All right. In D3, the one game I definitely want to talk about, or at least highlight, Pelham Laconia Monday. Pelham goes up double overtime.
Double overtime.
9-8 win for Pelham. Laconia had had an 8-5 lead late in that game. Couldn't hang on to it. But just, you know, two teams that we expect to be, you know, in the mix, certainly in Division III, playing a, what, you know, an outstanding early regular season game. And like we talked about with Pinkerton and Bedford, they turn around and play each other at Pelham on the last, or in the last game of the regular season.
Yeah.
So something that we'll get to get treated to.
That's a great, I mean, that's a great win for Pelham. I mean, to go up there and play on the turf, right? And there, and then, you know, going to the Snake Pit is not an easy place to play. That field, you know, going, it's like, you know, we told the guys when we went out to Winnicunnet, it's a different, when you are a turf team and you go out and you play on grass, it's a different feel. So that'll be something Laconia will have to prepare for. I think we said in our preview that, you know, this Pelham team, when healthy, again, not going to be the deepest team in the league, but when healthy, they've got guys at every position there. They can certainly make a run. You know, they made a run to the Final Four last year. You know, I think if they stay healthy, they can go even further.
Well, interesting you mentioned that. From their first game against Guilford, they had an injury. I don't know if it was pregame or early in the game, and they had a freshman, Aiden Cody, step in. Had five goals in that game, win over Guilford. Had two more in this one against Laconia, and then you had Memphis Patterson doing what he does, four goals for Pelham in that.
And Coach Johnson wasn't going to start him. It sounds like we got to do some more evaluation and practice there.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know if he mentioned him in his. I had to go back.
That's a nice surprise for any coach to find if you throw a freshman in there and they're able to perform in that way. That's great.
Yeah. And then I mean the other. You know, kind of thing that's taking shape in D2, kind of no surprise. You got Hopkinton off to a 3-0 start with a couple of close wins. That obviously that one against Bow we talked about last week, 8-6 over Kearsarge too, and then Campbell's right there too. Two wins, putting up lots of goals and playing lockdown defense like, you know, we've seen Campbell do.
You know, I think Division III, we said it's going to take a little bit longer to kind of flush out, you know, in terms. We saw there was actually a game got moved to Derryfield. We had Brady and Plymouth here last Friday night, was able to play under the lights here. A good showing for Brady. Didn't get the win. Now I'm blanking off the top. I want to say it was 10-7.
12-8.
12-8,
yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's right. I told you it was 10-7 when I left. That's right. So, you know, great to see both teams, you know, one, being able to get the game in, and two, you know, I think Brady showing some good early season progress there with
coming off that first game with Bo.
Yeah.
Tough week coming up for Coe Brown, because of having a, you know, games rescheduled and moved around. You know, they were playing Wednesday against Kearsarge at home, turn around, play Friday at home against Lebanon, going on the road Saturday morning to take on Pelham, and then Tuesday at Campbell for a noon start during vacation week. So the preseason's over for the Bears now. They're getting thrown in there.
Maybe teams should consider playing over vacation.
Well, they are playing over vacation. They got.
Well, only
got their,
it seems
know.
Like only because they have to. Most of these teams. I'm looking at a lot of.
The
I'm
Campbell
looking at
game,
a lot of.
To be fair, the Campbell game was already on there. The Pelham game, I think, got moved because
I'm not necessarily calling out Coe Brown. Okay, I'm just looking at a lot of these other Division III schedules, and it's hard. Like, you know, maybe Campbell and Coe Brown agreed to, you know, they would do that, but I'm looking at just about every other schedule on here, and these teams are trying to play 14, 15, 16 game schedules, and they're not playing over vacation week. I mean, you're just asking for 4-game weeks at that point,
yeah.
At least,
oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. with the weather we have up here. So I don't know. I mean, I know, you know, I don't know, as a varsity athlete and I never took a spring break. We were playing, and that's, you know, but times are different, I guess.
I'll put out there now, as long as the weather's good, I think that 12 o'clock Coe Brown Campbell game is going to be on my schedule next week. That's prime.
I think you do live update. I think you do a live broadcast.
Well, let's not go too far. I have to actually have something to broadcast with. All right. Well, any other final thoughts or any final thoughts before we wrap up this week's show?
You know, just two other programs I wanted to highlight that kind of had nice bounce backs here. You know, Merrimack Valley, Early season, had a 7-5 game with St. Thomas, you know, and then get a 12-0 win over Spalding the other day. They've put a lot of work into the offseason, and you know, I think it's paying off for them. You know, there's a lot of enthusiasm, and you know, they're playing well right now under some tough circumstances too. Their field has not been really ready to play a whole lot, and so they're doing a nice job. And then Wyndham dropped a 7-6 game with Oyster River the other day, bounced back and get a 19-2 win over Pembroke there. Lot of scoring from a lot of different people for Wyndham there. Ryan Park, Nate Crowley, Josh Trudell, Jake Silveris, Sam Kramer, all those guys hitting the box score there. So two good bounce back wins for those programs there as well.
All right. Well, I think that will wrap us up for this week. Chris, thanks again for joining me. And thanks to everybody out there for listening and you know, helping us with the numbers, obviously, in terms of listening. And
send box scores in. Get on your coaches to send box scores in. Help Joe out. Help get more coverage for New Hampshire High School lacrosse here.
Yeah, and those of you that maybe, you know, if you're thinking about signing up for a membership, I would say please do. I may be a little biased, but I think it's worth it. And certainly this is shaping up to be, I think, a fun season, and certainly one that I'm doing my best to get as much on there as I can, and already I feel like we're in a good spot. So
keep up the good work,
see where
Joe.
It goes. Thank you. All right, that'll do it for us. He is Chris Hettler. I'm Joe Marcellina. We'll talk to you next week.